Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilek, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 105, being recorded on the 2nd of December, 2015, with special guest Scott Zhang. My name is Sujit DeMello, and on Skype for business with me is Evan Basilek, Kale Teeter, and our special guest. Now, before we give Scott the chance to introduce himself, and I really appreciate him taking his time, he's a very important person in the Azure team, and he's got some interesting stuff to share with us today. We can't wait to hear from him. But before we get there, let's get our listeners caught up with some new updates. And I guess before that as well, I know the last episode we tried this whole thing with the recording the video, and I got to say it didn't turn out the way I expected it. You know, the video was a little clumsy. We're going to try and make it a little better, and if it works out, we'll eventually get it out there. So people, if anyone's been looking for the little video link, we never put it out there because it just didn't look very good, you know. So
we have standards here, right? I mean,
We have some standards. Yeah, exactly. We just can't put anything out there. So apologize for that not coming up on the blog post, but as soon as we get that figured out, and we're going to keep experimenting and getting better, we'll eventually put it out there. But for now, the audio version, of course, is available as always. So,
before you jump into our new stuff, I do want to give one shout out. One of my colleagues was actually working on a case tonight, and I went over to help him with something, and you know, somehow the podcast came up, and he told the customer, "Yeah, you know, this, you know, that's Evan that was helping me. Oh, I listen to his podcast all the time." So I got to give a shout out to Daryl Harrington. He's one of our loyal listeners. And I guess when he hears this podcast later this week, you know, hopefully he'll know that we really appreciate that kind of feedback. Right? It's great to hear that people are listening to it and getting value out of it. That's really why we do it, right?
Absolutely. That gives us so much encouragement and a little insight into where we should focus our discussions. So it's great to hear from him. All right. Let's say, Kale, you put a bunch of links in the show notes. Any one in particular you'd like to start off with?
Well, probably the first one we talked about, I think last time, was a little bit about the portal in general, the UI and some of the enhancements we had there. And now it's been GA. So this is a great day in the morning here. Finally GA with the portal.azure.com, which was in preview form or Ibiza before this for so long. So there's a lot of stats up there. We can go ahead and post a link to this about how many requests and blades are open per month and those kind of things, which are interesting. I think just a couple of them, 22 million blade openings per month. There's around 3,500 items in the marketplace, 18 languages. So pretty large scale application in its own. And it's finally GA. So that's good.
That's amazing. Now, we still have the old portal, correct? This doesn't mean the old portal is going away.
So I think the official name is Classic now. We got an email Classic about that the other day. Right. The Classic portal is still around because not all the features have moved over to the portal or the new portal. And so until those move over, right, we're still going to have a Classic portal.
Okay. That's great. That's a good update. And let's see, what we have the general availability of the app service mobile apps. Let's see, what's that all about?
Well, we had that app model, right, with the app service platform, right? So we had like mobile, logic, web apps. And this is the kind of coming of age now in the GA of the mobile portion of that, which kind of helps you build out your mobile platform. I think we had a couple of people speak about this in the past, but it really kind of facilitates building a layer in there between there to give you something to write to, as opposed to you having to wire the code up all yourself to create your database and all the back end that would be needed to support something like a mobile application. So there's a nice framework that's been wrapped around there.
Okay. That's great.
One other thing that's kind of close to me is this the AZ copy. So if anybody's ever tried to copy files, typically where I've used it is on-prem up there to Azure, but also in between Azure. So if you had something in one storage account, wanted to put it in another storage account, you know, you don't want to drag that back to your client. That might take forever, especially if it's gigs or terabytes of data. You know, AZ copy is the tool, the Swiss Army knife we use there to kind of do that. And this one's now version 5, I guess it is now, and it's adding table support, which is kind of unique. I didn't even know that that supported that, but I've used it mostly for block and page blobs. But I guess it also supports the append blobs, that new feature that we had, and also has features for Azure Files now, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I think didn't I see somewhere along the way that AZ Copy moved from kind of just a tool that we published to an official part of the ecosystem as well. I have to go back and dig that up, and I'm pretty sure that was. It's neat to see it continue to grow, right?
And then, of course, my favorite, of course, is the Azure Container Service. I guess the only thing I don't like is using the word ACS, and you know, ACS used to mean something differently, right? In the early Azure days. Was it the authentication something system, right? Didn't
access, access
control.
I can't remember what it, service maybe?
Service, yeah.
Service,
yeah.
Or system. Yeah.
So that's the sort of thing that threw me off a little bit. But yeah, AZS is the new Azure Container Service now. And of course, this is building on all the work that we've done with Docker and Mesosphere. And you can now have host those kind of mini VMs, so to speak, in. You know, set up these whole cluster of VMs and run them in a managed way, spin them up, spin them down, all those nice things. So that's something that definitely anyone who's familiar or likes the whole Docker container system should take advantage of now, because you can do that in Azure. You don't have to create a special VM, right, just to host your Docker container. Have a managed container for you now.
Now, so the question is, Sajid, you know, this announcement just came out today. Have you done it yet? Have you pushed something out?
Working on it.
By the end of the podcast, it'll be published.
There you go. Right? There you go.
Yeah, cool. for the listeners that, you know, maybe haven't caught us, Sajid is very passionate about the containers. So I figured you'd jump on this right away.
Absolutely. Yep. Can't get there fast enough. And then what's this about? Okay, so now Debian GNU Linux is now an endorsed distribution in the Azure Marketplace. And this is on the heels of the whole Red Hat announcement, is that it?
Yeah, I mean, the endorsed images, right, and the Linux, our Linux story is getting vastly better these days. But, this isn't quite the level of what we see with Red Hat, where, you know, there's kind of paired support for that. This is... the Debian distros are actually in the image galleries. You know, if you're using these, you can get, support from folks that support the Debian distro, right? So it's kind of optimized isn't quite the right word, but it's definitely, we really recommend you use these endorsed distributions versus just installing your own, right? Because they're definitely tuned for Azure. Things that, you know, might go wrong, we know about, we get fixed in those images.
You know,
but yeah, great to see yet another.
All the security hardening, et cetera, is already.
Yeah, all that kind
whatnot,
of stuff.
Right?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, and kind of along with the security there, it just ties into it, is the Azure Security Center, which has been, you know, now released in public preview form. So that's pretty awesome. But basically, that tool is something that's built into Azure. And when you can take advantage of it, it can basically look at the security state of some of your stuff up there in Azure, kind of give you some heads up if it sees things that are amiss or things that it sees as something that's out of place. Maybe you need to take a look at it. Maybe there's a bunch of failed logons happening. Maybe you left something open publicly that you're not supposed to, that maybe is not normal. And then the other cool piece of it, if you haven't used it yet, is you can actually do those kind of things, and then it can make recommendations and say, by the way, if you need an additional layer of firewall protection, we have, you know, our partners from like the different vendors that we have up there, and they're actually a blade that just slides out, and you can start provisioning right from there. So it's kind of interesting how it can kind of detect, but also kind of help you resolve issues that you have up there.
Yeah, I think that's the part that I personally find really neat is kind of the instantaneous response stuff, right? I mean, think about how this happens in the on-prem world. You know, you do some sort of, you know, evaluation of your environment. You find something that, you know, the tool finds something, and you got to go figure out what the solution is, and, you know, maybe that company sells something, but maybe not. You know, now this is just kind of built into the entire ecosystem, right? It's hey, if you have this problem, and we know you have this problem, these are the two or three things that are optimized to solve that.
Right.
I think that's really neat.
Hey, just a quick to go back to that AZ Copy 5.0 news. I just noticed something. I don't know if this was always there, but could you always copy table entities with AZ Copy? I don't recall that being there. Is that new? It says here now you can import and export Azure Storage table entities. So
yeah,
you actually.
I don't think you could at that level.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this is new, right? This is new with this release then.
Yep. Yeah, I believe so. Yep.
That's pretty cool, actually. That's very useful. Okay, so without further ado, I suppose we'll ask our esteemed guest, Scott Tseng, to introduce himself. Scott, sorry, we rambled a little bit. Go ahead and introduce yourself, please.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Let me introduce myself first. I'm Scott. I'm from Open Source Technology Center. My major focus is on Linux on Azure. Basically, it's, you know, some project mentioned about Skate and Ava just now. It's like a Red Hat. It's Debian, something I'm still working on. So, but today, I will specially introduce a new VM extension we have launched for Linux VM in Azure. It's, you know, So Git can I start to introduce?
I'm sorry, Scott, what was that?
Yeah. So I think I can start to introduce the DSC, right? So Git?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Sorry.
So basically, you know, you may be already using Azure PowerShell Designer status configuration for your Windows VM already. So, you know, in Azure today, we are working on to create a unified user experience for customer to manage the configuration for their Windows and the Linux VM. That's the originally targeted for our DSC for Linux extension. So when you are, you know, user for Windows, you are familiar with how to manage your VM. But right now we are creating a similar experience for you to use the same configuration to manage our Linux VM as well. So Linux DSC extension itself will basically have us four functionality. The number one is that will allow you to push your mob file configuration you created to change your VM configuration to your Linux VM. This is called a push mode. The second one is a pull mode. There is, you know, if you have more than one VM, you want to apply the same morph configuration to the Linux VM, you will have opportunity to distribute the morph file configuration to the Linux VM with the pull servers. Number three, if you got, when you, there is a pure Linux VM without a Linux DSC for Linux module installed, you get the opportunity to install the DSC module remotely through our extension. And also you get the opportunity to remove that if you don't need this DSC module on your VM to make sure there is a, you know, pure environment. That's the full functionality we basically enabled through our Azure DSC for Linux extension. So this is an amazing feature. Basically, for customer, you could use the PowerShell of Azure CLI to manage your VM, whatever Windows and the Linux, through same interface, same morph configuration. I will quickly introduce what's the configuration for when you are using DSC for Linux extension. So I think I will share my desktop right now.
Yeah. Now, Scott, while you're doing that, one thing as you're going through, it would be great to understand, right, because Linux and Windows are very different, right?
Yep.
You're trying to do a lot of the same things. You know, install your apps, drop in your config files, all that. What kind of commonality is there between the two DSC environments, or is it really kind of the concept of MOFs and the mindset to it? You can't share a MOF file between the two, right?
Let me share my screen to give some quick example regarding. Let me give you a quick example. For example, for Linux VM and the Windows VM, we will always create a new user for that.
Oh, okay. So things like some of those things would actually be common. Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Let me share a typical MOF file we created for both Windows and Linux.
And we're going to put these on the show notes, right? We'll put these files.
Yep. Yeah, I could share this file.
Okay.
Basically, this file is the MOF file we created. Can you guys see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, this is a MOF file I created named as localhost door NX user .mof. This is a standard MOF file we created for both Windows and the Linux. In this MOF file, the key thing is here, we will add a new user named as a DSC user, and there is a password. This parameter was encrypted given this is internet enablement. This is a simple MOF file, and all of stuff are environment we configured for in this MOF file. So we'll do this, when you are going to apply this MOF file to your Linux VM, and you will have to configure some private JSON file and a protected JSON file as well as a public JSON file. At least this is very simple. At least it's in my blog. So you can see this is a protected JSON file. It's majorly stored the information where you put your MOF file. The first parameter is a storage account name. It's address storage account name. The next one is a storage account key to make sure you could access your storage account. And the number three is a container name. It's kind of like the folder to store your MOF file. And also this is a MOF file in this JSON file. For the public configuration JSON file here, is you just simply identify what's the mode you will use for this MOF file configuration you will apply to the VMs. Here's the example here is a push mode. So it's very simple for this two configuration file. When you get everything ready, you could easily to run this to call the DSC for Linux extension through PowerShell as well as Azure CLI. Here is an example for Azure CLI. You could easily identify this is a resource group for your VM you would like to apply. This is a VM name you want to add a user for. And this is a DSM version. I think the current version we have is 1.0. And here they give the pass for the protected JSON as well as the public JSON file. And then with this CLI command, you will easily to apply this MOF file to your remotely Linux VM. And of course, you get the opportunity to develop a script to make sure this configuration file could apply to the multi VM. And also you could add a command for Windows VM to apply the same MOF file. I think that's a magic thing for us. User is having opportunity to manage Linux VM and Windows VM with the same configuration file.
Yeah, and Scott, just to make sure, for our audience so they understand the desired state stuff, right, the goal of the desired state stuff is to move configuring these VMs and these resources to a declarative model,
Yeah.
Right. In other words, you basically have this file that defines what you want this stuff to look like. You don't care how it gets there. That's the service and the VM's responsibility to do that. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the primary, just so I understand too, and maybe the listeners too, so the primary components to enable this is, whether it's Windows or Linux, we have an extension or an agent kind of thing that's running on this virtual machine, and then we have some way to push these configuration files, which this agent understands how to parse, which will then be able to take action on that VM. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then the other stuff you went through, so basically we have in the Windows world, a lot of people are familiar with PowerShell because that's something that we've used for a long time. But in the Linux world, we also have our cross-platform CLI tools, and they kind of complement our PowerShell. So it's nice that we can support kind of both that model as well.
Yeah. Now, for example, for a lot of user who is a Windows guy, but they have started to manage their Linux VM, but they don't have good experience to use a Linux command line. This is a choice for them to manage the Linux VM with a unified way, as same with Windows.
Oh, I didn't even think about that benefit, right? So somebody like me who is, I used to know Linux years and years ago, I guess before it was Linux, but I'm not very good with Linux these days, but you're right. I hadn't even thought about it. I could, if I design my MOF file, my DSC file, I don't have to know Linux to configure it the way I want. Oh, that's a nice benefit. Okay.
Yep. Okay, I think that's all I have to introduce DSC for Linux extension.
Now, could you elaborate on that one aspect which you said is, I guess it's an agentless mode. You said you could also push it to the Linux without anything installed on it, right? You can do it remotely to keep the Linux installation very pure or clean. How does that work? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. Okay. Basically, when you start to push a MOF configuration file to a remote Linux VM, we will install that first. We'll install the DSC module for Linux first, and then send the MOF file to that Linux VM to get that Linux VM to use the DSC for Linux library to consume this MOF file.
And
that's the mechanism behind.
And then it deletes it, or it cleans itself up or something after that? Is that what it does?
Because sorry?
Does it clean itself after it finishes? Like, does it remove itself, or does it stay on the machine thereafter?
Basically, if you would like to remove that DSC module after, then you will add more, activity after, in the configuration file, you want to remove that. Given there is a public... public model file. You could put this as maybe remove that extension.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
To move to the remove mod.
Yeah. One last question I had, Scott, was this sounds all great. The MOF files themselves, though, is there a repository like out on GitHub or anything where we have some common things, like you mentioned creating a user or doing some common things? Is there any like samples out there that people get started with?
That's something I want to highlight next. All of DSC for Linux extension are open sourced. We have that location in GitHub. I have mentioned that in my blog as well. Everyone could check out that code to look into what exactly they want to customize for this configuration, for this extension.
Excellent. That's great.
Great.
Thank you so much for giving us that introduction to your latest development over here. Now, so Scott, so you're visiting the United States now, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm visiting Raymond right now from China. I'm based in Shanghai, China.
Well, welcome, and hope you enjoy your stay here.
I hope it's drier than it is here in Charlotte on my side. we've had incredible rain recently. So, definitely glad to have you. When you head out, wave to us.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot, Scott, for this. I mean, I think the listeners will find this incredibly useful. I mean, the DSC stuff is – is hugely popular and now it's on Linux. I think this is great. Thanks for coming and sharing this.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
Thanks a lot. Take care, then. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.